In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Being the week of Valentine's Day, I have a love story to tell you. Doesn't sound like a love story, but there it is. After Grandma died, which was year and a half after my grandpa died, we finally got to go through Grandpa's dresser drawers. Grandpa had worked for Chrysler for 30 years as an experimental mechanic. It's where he met Grandma. Grandma was engaged to another man when she saw him walk into the office, and as true love stories go, she heard violins and birds tweeting and said, "Well, that's the man I'm going to marry." Broke off the engagement and started going with Grandpa. Turns out that she was really good friends with Aunt Marie, Grandpa's next older sister, because that's how Grandpa got to working at Chrysler, because his brother-in-law worked at Chrysler, Uncle Frank, and Grandma was a secretary in the mechanics office, and there it was. Anyway, Grandpa was also known as a joke teller. It got him out of more trouble as a child than anything. He and Aunt Marie would be doing something that was not what they were supposed to be doing, and great-grandma would get to yelling at him, "Della, this is," and she'd get to yelling at him. Well, Grandpa could get her to laugh, and she'd be laughing so hard, she'd forget to punish him. Aunt Marie'd throw a fit about it, and she'd get double. Anyway, joke-telling was Grandpa's legacy. I mean, he did many things in his life, but his ability to tell a tall tale was legendary. Because of this, he more times than not over those 30 years at Chrysler was called on to MC the retirement parties. Recently, while home, it was over Thanksgiving when I was home, and we were all together, Mom and Aunt Karen, Uncle Louie, and Jonathan and I, and we said, "Well, let's go see what we can find in Grandpa's drawer." She opened up the one top drawer, which they had to be dead for us to be able to do this, opened up the top drawer, and he had a pack of index cards, rubber banded together. And the rubber band was so old that it had already broken and all this good stuff. But it was the starting line of every one of these jokes, and they were numbered 1 through 1,000. And so we said, "Well, let's go see how many of these Uncle Louie remembers. Let's go see how many of these Uncle Louie remembers." And so we brought him downstairs and read the one line, which none of them are church appropriate, so there we are. Read the first line, and Uncle Louie, "Oh yeah, that's the one about such and such," and da-da-da, we start laughing, and it was wonderful. The two generations following my grandparents sitting around the room laughing at the jokes Grandpa had kept from us all these years because, well, you don't share these things with your children and your grandchildren. Anyway, also in that drawer, Grandpa had, for whatever reason, well, I should know because he, you know, child of the Depression, kept everything. Also in that drawer, in a paperclip, were a whole lot of cutouts of the little Love Is cartoons with the little boy and the little girl running around with no clothes on. And it was Love Is, and it was Love Is fixing a meal for your wife, or Love Is rubbing your husband's feet when he gets home, or Love Is any number one of those other things that was in the paper at that time. We get into our scripture this morning. We think love is these things, and instead, the reverse here is God is love. Well, in true math equation form, if God is love and love is this, is God then that? No, I don't think so. But anyway, God is love. We know God loves us because God sent his only Son into this world to live with us and die for us. And not only that, to raise again from the dead to save us from our sins. God is love, and it is that love that my grandparents truly expressed. It is that love that they passed on from generation to generation. It is that love that was expressed to them in any way it could be from their parents, who, let's face it, grew up in times and in situations that, well, my grandfather's parents were dirt poor sharecroppers in Arkansas. My grandmother's parents, you know, great-grandma was a homemaker after having been a one-room school teacher in rural Missouri. And when they got married and they came to Detroit, and grandpa worked for the car companies, or Willis P. worked for the car companies, but they lived frugally. They lived not outside of their means. But more than that, they lived sharing a story of love, and more specifically, the love that had been shown to them not only by their family and their friends, but by their God. God is love. Love is one of those words you can finish that sentence with. God is what? God is love. God is love because God loved us so much. Here it is. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. It is that love that is hereditary, or it should be. It is that love and that understanding of love that is our gift to future generations. It is that love that God is love, and God showed God's love for us by this way, that is the story that stands above all other stories. There are thousands of stories in each of our families. There are memories that will bring up laughter, and there are memories that bring up tears. There are stories of how wonderful our parents loved each other, or grandparents, and there are stories about how, well, they really couldn't stand each other. I've got those in my family, too. But the love that we learn in this family, the love that we learned sitting in pews when we were this size, is the same love that we should be teaching now that we are this size. The love that God showed is the essence of who God is. There's a comic running around the various clergy groups on Facebook, and it's Jesus standing there with a bunch of people, and it's just a little pencil drawing. And Jesus standing there with a bunch of people, may or may not be the disciples, and he says, the problem is that I know that you are using the scripture to try to figure out what love is, and I use love to figure out what the scripture's trying to say. It's a cartoon, it's a passing thing, it runs around Facebook like all kinds of rumors, but there's some truth to that. Are we seeking definitions in the Bible? Or are we seeking to use the love that we already know to understand this collection of stories? John continues in his letter here. It says, dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. Jesus, yes. God, no. If we love each other, God remains in us and his love is made perfect in us. Gets down here. It says, because who doesn't love a brother or sister who can be seen, cannot love God who cannot be seen. God loved us first. It's not just that God is love. It is that God loved us first. You go back to Isaiah. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I called you by name. You are mine. God loved us first. Getting into a conversation with my girls this week about creation and about how, you know, science teaches this and this, that, and the other. And it's like, yeah, okay. I said, but for that to happen, I believe God was in the beginning. God loved us first. God loved creation first. God loved creation, so he created, right? God loved us first. So he created, and he created humankind in God's image, in our image. God loved us first. And yes, humanity disappointed him when in the garden. And yes, humanity disappoints him when we get all up in other people's Kool-Aid and when we get all focused on this mess here and not on higher things. But God loved us first, and God loved us so much he sent Jesus. God incarnate, fully human, fully divine, to experience the hurt, to experience the joy, to experience what it was, and to be a living reminder, a dead reminder, a risen reminder that this is not it. That because God loved us first and God loves us still, there is something beyond this. God is love. This is how we know we remain in him and he remains in us, because he has given us a measure of his spirit. Sometimes I feel not connected with the Creator. Sometimes I have walked through the valley and I have said, okay, God, where exactly are you now? Because I sure don't feel you right here in this mess with me. If we're honest, we've all had those experiences. It never fails. It never fails that just when it gets the darkest and just when it gets the loneliest and just when it feels most like he's forgotten that I'm sitting here, something happens and he shows up. It's a phone call. It's a card in the mailbox. It's something, a song comes on the radio that holds a special spot in my heart. And let's face it, there are plenty that do that. Something gets said on TV, even if it's an ad, and there's a message in it that says, oh. The reminder pops up and says, uh-huh, I remember your name is Christina Louise. I know exactly where you've been this whole time. I've been right there with you. If you'd pick your head up, you could see where I was at. Does that get like that when it gets all dark and it's like, God, pick your head up. I'm right here. You can't see the light if you're looking at your feet. God is love, and it is that love that we are encouraged and, yes, even charged with expressing. It is that love that would go to a cross that we are called to express. It is the love that knows no ending. It is the love that we in our humanness cannot fully understand. God's love for us is beyond measurement. You cannot fit it into a box. You cannot fit it into a sermon. You cannot fit it into a locket to wear around your neck. It fills the space like the air we breathe. It fills every nook and cranny of our being. It picks us up when we've fallen down. It's what extends our arms to reach out to those in need. It's the thing that keeps us going. It's the thing that charges us just like plugging in the cell phone. It's the thing that is the hardest to name. Because we who have grown up with this, we who have walked this path for years, start to take it for granted. God is love. And that math equation works. And the phrase, all you need is love. God is love. Therefore, all you need is God. The key is this. God is there. God is, period. We have to be willing to open up to him. We have to be willing to be changed. We have to be willing to be beacons. We have to be willing to be the hands and feet of God in the world. That's another comment going around Facebook. Around Christmas time, you got the disembodied voice up here. It says, Jesus, what's the matter? Don't you like your birthday present? And he says, it's great, but I can't get him out. He's holding a church. The old kids' song. Here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. The wonderful is that is, and it teaches the kids all kinds of things. The problem with that is it's got your hands locked up. When your hands are locked up, you cannot be an instrument of God's love and sharing that. Open it up, let the people out. Open it up, let yourself out. Let go of and hold on to the truth that God is love. And that sentence, God is a complete sentence in its entirety. All you need is love. And God is love. And for that, I am thankful. Amen.